I do count it a real privilege to be here today. I had to think as I came in here this morning and was thinking about the several weeks that we've been gone, and I thought of the change of Don being gone, and also Anna being gone. Now Anna hadn't been here much lately because she'd been in the nursing home and so on, but still it's been a change for the congregation, and so. I just really had to think about that as I came in here today. One thing we can be guaranteed of is things are going to change, and we know that happens. So, but it's good to be with you again. For a message today, I'd like to just think about. I tried. I don't know when Dana asked me if I would preach. This morning, I was praying about it and so on, and something that's been on my heart is just the kind of world that we are living in. And as I said, things change. And one of these changes that I'm seeing, and I think probably most of us are, is it seems like we live in a world that is becoming angrier. It seems like that as I get out in public and so on, that they're just kind of people are uptight. You drive down the road and it seems like the horns start honking. Well, easier, maybe it always has, but easier than what it used to. But I've just been noticing that we might say that since the pandemic began, that this has caused a lot more anger and uptightness and so on. And I'm not really sure that that's the case. I don't think the pandemic has really caused it. I think it's just simply brought it out into the open. Because those things are usually under the surface and maybe doesn't surface quite as easy, but it seems like sometimes some of these things that happen has a tendency to bring it out more in the open. Mask. We all have reactions to masks. Sometimes people wear masks and some people get angry. Other times people don't wear masks and people still get angry. And so, it's just a kind of world that we're living in. Seems like it's even affected families. It's affected churches. I've been surprised hearing churches that are divided over some of these issues. Businesses, even countries are experiencing it. And politics and that type of thing. But I had to think, how do we as believers, how do we live in these times? And how do we react to this? You know, as believers, I think we are expected to be different than what general society is. I think we should be expected to be different. Now, this is not the first time in history that we've went through difficult times. And I am not sure we as believers here in America even still know what any difficult times are. You read history and you look at what other believers have had to go through. And we realize that we have really had it pretty easy. But today I'd like to think about what God's Word has to say to us as believers. And I'd like to think about going to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs and also some over in Ecclesiastes and maybe a couple other references. But I don't know. I have just come to appreciate this book. Because Proverbs has a message for us. And it has so many things that just have to do with everyday life. Just the way that we live every day. It's a book that is very down to earth in the things that it says to us. There's one thing we need to really get down and to understand before we can really understand Proverbs. You get into the first chapter there, and it says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion." Now, Solomon often talks about the young man and a man and so on. That's more of a generic term. And this is talking about persons. It's talking about young men and young women and so on. "A wise man or wise person will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to understand the proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings." And now, verse 7 is what I want us to get, first of all. This is the foundation for all that we say and all that we learn out of the book of Proverbs. This is the foundation. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." And so that is the foundation, the fear of the Lord. And we go over into chapter 9, verse 10, and there it says somewhat of the same thing, only it says it in this way: "The fear of the Lord is the beginning, the foundation of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." And so, let's really build that foundation. The fear of the Lord, the knowledge of the holy, our relationship with the Lord, and so on. That's all foundational here to what we talk about. I'd like to look at one of these pearls that the book of Proverbs gives to us. It gives us a lot of them. But I'd like to go over to chapter 15, verse 1. And I want to focus on this one here today. Chapter 15, verse 1. This is "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." And I think that here is a proverb, or it's a principle. It's something I believe that can really help us in what we're dealing with in our world today. "A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." Now, what is meant by a soft answer? I guess as I started looking at this, I came to realize that I think there's more to a soft answer than what we generally think. And I tried to sort of pick that apart a little bit of what is involved in a soft answer. Well, the first thing I think of is decibels. You know, how loud someone talks. A soft answer is, it's soft. It's more of a quiet voice. It seems like that we have a tendency that when we get into a conflict, that we think that all of a sudden the person we're in a conflict with, it becomes hard of hearing. You ever notice that? All of a sudden they can't hear. And we think that if we raise our voice, excuse me, I'm sorry, I'm having a little trouble with my voice. Soft. If we raise our voice, that we're going to hammer it into them. But I found that usually just the opposite happens. It seems like that when we raise our voice, or when somebody raises their voice at us, we tend to forget. I've got a myth. Some of you are holding up a myth, but I've got one. We tend to stop focusing on what they're saying, and we begin focusing on what they're doing, how they're acting. And that's what people do to us. When we raise our voice to them. It's interesting, over in chapter 25, there in Proverbs, in verse 15, it says, "By long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone." I really apologize for my voice. All of a sudden, I'm losing it. But it said a soft voice or a soft tongue breaketh the bone. And it's just a... It's just something that we think won't happen. It does. A soft voice. I thought of that illustration over in the book of 1 Kings. You remember where Elijah, he had that tremendous victory there on Mount Carmel? And then he runs away after that victory. He runs away from Jezebel because she threatens to kill him. He runs down into the wilderness and gets into a cave. And in the cave, God begins to work on him. And I think, first of all, there was a wind. The wind was so strong that it was breaking the rocks. And then there was a fire. And then there was an earthquake. And then it said, that always strikes me as I see that. And that is, it says that all of a sudden there was a still, small voice. And he said, Elijah said, then he knew God was there. I had to think, you know, it wasn't there with all the noise and so on. That's not what really spoke to Elijah. But it was that still, small voice that broke through to Elijah. So, the first thing about a soft answer is decibel. The second thing is the tone of voice. Excuse me, I am just so sorry. I'll try a different one. The second thing is the tone of voice. You ever stop and realize how much we say with the tone of voice that we use? It says a lot, doesn't it? We can say a lot with our tone. We could say the very same words with something, and The tone of voice will completely change what we mean. We can give a tone of voice that displays sarcasm. We can give a tone of voice that displays ridicule to somebody. It can display harshness. And the way we do that, even though it might be, doesn't even have to be loud words, but just the tone of voice that we use in something can say so much to people. And so I think it's very important in thinking about this whole thing of a soft answer is a tone of voice that is used. The third thing I have about a soft answer, and that is it needs to be spoken at the right time. Over in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 7, I'm not even going to turn to it, but it says there's a time to keep silence and there's a time to speak. So a part of this soft answer is knowing when we should talk. Sometimes it's just best to not say anything. But there is also time that we need to speak. Proverbs 15, going back to that same chapter of 15, and then down in verse 23, it says, "A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is." So that is very important. And that is, when do we talk? It's spoken at the right time. And here again, that's something we need the Lord to help us with. Lord, help us to know when we should talk and when we shouldn't. Now, the next thing about, and the fourth thing about speaking softly is the actual words that we use. The actual words that we use in speaking. Go over to Ecclesiastes 12. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 11. It said, "The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the master of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd." It's important for us that in our words that they mean something. Now, I've heard people talk for a long time, and you still don't know what they said. But I've heard other people speak few words and say a lot. And, you know, there's some people that when they talk, I just automatically pay attention, because I know that they weigh their words carefully. And what they say carries weight. And I think that's what he's saying here in that verse 11. "The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies." It means something. They're firm. They know, they've got meaning and substance to them. So that is very important in the actual words that we say. Also in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, and going down to verse 12, it says, "The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself." And so another part of this whole thing of speaking softly is that they need to be gracious words. Gracious words. And words that are well used in the situation that we're in. Another part of that, in the actual words that we speak, And I think they need to be beautiful. Go to Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25, verse 11. Here is a verse that, as I studied this, I saw something that was new to me. I always enjoy that when I read the scriptures and see something, well, I just never seen that before. But in verse 11 there, 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. Now, I don't know how you take that verse. I always took that verse as somehow apples of gold in pitchers of silver. Pitchers as what we pour, you know, an instrument of where we put something in it and we pour it out or something. Somehow I always had that view of that verse. Apples of gold in pitchers of silver. But as I looked at that verse, all of a sudden it dawned on me that word pitchers there is not spelled like that kind of pitchers that I was thinking of. And I thought, well, that's interesting. What is this verse saying? And I think this word pitchers is like what we think of as a pitcher on the wall. Is the way I'm understanding this. It's apples of gold, a word fitly spoken, is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. Now, I had to think, how can I illustrate that? We just, a couple months ago, came through Christmas time. And one of the things that is pretty popular at Christmas are fruit baskets. Take apples or oranges and different kinds of fruit and maybe some candy bars and I don't know, whatever all is involved, we call it a fruit basket. Well, you know, you could take all those items in that basket and throw it into a cardboard box and give it to somebody, and you're giving them the very same thing as you do with a fruit basket. But there's something different about it, isn't there? There's something different about that beautiful fruit basket, and some of you have the talents of making those, that takes this food, these fruit or different items, putting them into a basket and just making and creating a thing of beauty out of it. And I think that's what this is saying about the words. I think the words that we use, and as we get into discussions with people and as we get into different situations, I think the words that we use can be things of beauty. And can be well thought of, and spoken in the right way. I think all of that is involved in that whole thing of a soft answer turneth away wrath. Now, the other side of that is this whole area of grievous words. The other side of that proverb says, but grievous words stir up anger. What are grievous words? Sometimes the people get into these situations and all of a sudden they start using derogatory terms about a person. Sometimes they start accusing that person of things that they didn't do. But because of the anger and because of the emotions that come up in us, we start accusing them of things. I had to think of what Jesus said. You remember Jesus said over there in Matthew 5? He talked about, if you call people reka and thou fool, what did he say? You'll be in danger of the judgment and so on. And I think that's what he's talking about there. And that is this whole thing of words that are spoken in anger, grievous words, as the proverb said. There's a good example of that in the Bible. You remember the story over in 1 Samuel 25 of Nabal, and he had a wife, Abigail. David, as his men, they were living in the wilderness, and they had protected Nabal's shepherds and sheep and so on. And on the time when they were shearing sheep, David sent some of his men down to Nabal's house and asked him for a donation, asked him to help. They needed food and so on. And when they went down and talked to Nabal, Nabal just really turned on them. Actually, one of the verses says he railed on these men. And the men went back and reported to David. And David said, we're going to go down and we're going to wipe that place out. But Abigail found out about it. One of the young men told Abigail, his wife, what had taken place. And they were afraid. They knew David, and they knew probably what was going to happen. And Abigail gathers up a bunch of food, and she heads out to meet David on his way down. And read that account sometime. I'm not going to read it today, but read that account and read the words that she chose as she talked to David and as she pled with him and so on. But it's very interesting how that she approached him. And you might say she used words that were well chosen and well thought out. And it's a good lesson in how to relate to someone that is angry and so on. So that's a good lesson for us. Both soft answers and grievous words come from our heart. We need to realize that. A soft answer or grievous words are often a reflection of our heart. And it often shows just what really is down inside of us. I don't know if you've ever done this or not. You ever practice in your mind of telling somebody off? You ever practice that? Boy, now if I, you know, we know just what we'd tell them. We've got it all rehearsed. You know, that's a dangerous thing to do. Because sometimes we get into the situation and all of a sudden it isn't a rehearsal. We just let it spill out what we've been rehearsing. Here again, that gets right down to our heart, doesn't it? It gets right down to what we really think. And so I think it's really important that we really concentrate on the fact of, Lord, give me a heart that wants to speak the words that you want me to speak. In closing, I'd like to go over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. And I'd like to just read a few verses here from verse 9 to verse 12. Because I think right here is really the core of really getting down to what it is that helps us to say what we should say. In verse 9, or 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people or a purchased people. That's what we are. Let's keep that in mind. We are a different people than the people of the world. And if we're a different people, then we need to act differently. We're going to conduct ourselves differently. It says that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but have now attained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. Do we think about ourselves as being strangers and pilgrims in this world? I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Having your conversation, that word conversation, I've come to appreciate that word. In the King James, this word conversation is more than just speaking. It's our whole life. And I used to have kind of the attitude, well, I wish King James would use a different word there, because it's not really saying what it really means. But I think it is. The more I've seen this word, the more I've appreciated it. Because our whole life speaks. It is a conversation. And so, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. And so I guess I'd like to leave us with this today. This whole thing of the kind of world we're living in and how we react to that. You know, the Lord's probably going to test me on some of this. And it's easy for us. It's easy for us to not respond in the way that the Lord would have us respond to some of these things. But let's remember who we are. Let's remember that not to live in those fleshly lusts that want to end up with the grievous words. Let's live in the Spirit of God that can give us that soft answer. That soft answer that turns away wrath and that is pleasing to the Lord. So I just trust this is something that can be of benefit to us here today. Lord bless you. Let's stand for closing prayer. Okay. Father, thank you again. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for what your word teaches us, how it speaks to our hearts. Help us, Lord, that we can, by your Spirit, put these things into practice. Lord, we need your strength and your power to be able to do that. And so I just really pray today, Lord, that you would work in all of our lives and our hearts. Help us as we are your people, Lord, to live in such a way that people can glorify you. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just pray for our brothers and sisters in many places of the world, but I think especially in the Ukraine today. Our brothers and sisters that are perhaps suffering, living in fear, and living in not knowing what's going to happen. Lord, just give them grace for this. Care for them. Pray for Bo, especially, Lord, that you would be with him in a special way. Dismiss us now with your blessing, Lord. We want to thank you for the food that's been prepared. Lord, we ask your blessing upon it. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.